Good stuff, folks. Many people don't realize or quite understand that the Jewish feast of Passover was perfectly fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. That's what I'm going to examine here today. Let's go to Mark. We're going to be in chapter 14. We're going to start here at verse 10. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. So it's talking about betraying Christ. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. So what Judas Iscariot did here, he was one of the original 12 handpicked disciples of Jesus Christ. He worked out a deal. He played, let's make a deal with the religious Jewish leaders at that time, the chief priest, and they agreed for a sum of money. And you could find in the scriptures the sum was 30 pieces of silver. Actually, it was a prophecy given in the Old Testament also. So it says here, and the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou makest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. So let me just stop there. Kind of cool, you know, the Lord knew everything, and they wanted to know where they could go and eat this Passover meal. And he said, look, go into the city. This is what you're going to find, and just do this. And it was exactly the way he said to them. So we see here that the Passover was something that the Lord, it was a feast that he celebrated ever since he was young. So this is all, you see the Jewishness of this whole thing, folks. Very important that you see that. Let's go to verse 17. It's, and in the evening he cometh with the 12. Okay, that's the 12 handpicked disciples, apostles. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, verily or truly I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born. That's heavy, folks. He's obviously speaking of Judas Iscariot, the man who betrayed Christ for a mere 30 pieces of silver. Judas was a man that walked side by side with the Lord, just like the rest of the disciples, the other 11. He witnessed miracles galore. He saw Christ raise the dead. My, oh, my. He saw this man walk on water, still storms, cast demons out of people. So it's incredible that this man now made a deal with the religious Jewish chief priest. Incredible. Let's go further down here. We're going to look at verse 22. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and brake it and gave it to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now, you know what I'm going to say here. Growing up as a Roman Catholic, you know, we were taught that the Roman Catholic priest had the ability to change the bread and wine into the actual body and blood of Jesus Christ, known as transubstantiation in Roman Catholic teachings, and this is not true. I'm sorry, folks. It's not true. Jesus Christ is not in that piece of bread. He's not eating himself. That would be cannibalism. Jesus was speaking in allegorical terms. This is an allegory. He's talking of himself, the death on the cross that is about to happen. That's what he was talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Very important that you see that. Verse 23, and he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Once again, he's talking in allegorical terms here. The wine that he was drinking, he's saying, this is my blood. He's talking about the death that he's about to go through on the cross. And that was a death for our sins, by the way. So keep in mind, I'm making it clear here that this was a Passover meal. Okay, that's what the scriptures make it very clear. And I want you to see, folks, this is totally awesome, that Jesus Christ himself was to become the perfect Passover lamb that was sacrificed, and he was sacrificed for our sins. That's the power in the blood of Jesus Christ. So don't forget those words, ladies and gentlemen. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. And that word testament, by the way, is a word in the Greek. It's diatheke, D-I-A-T-H-E-K-E. And that's also used to translate the word covenant. So sometimes you'll find that in the King James, it'll be translated as testament, sometimes as covenant. So I want you to know something, ladies and gentlemen. This is the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. There is no other covenant that Almighty God honors. Don't ever forget that. It's either Jesus or it's nothing. It's Jesus Christ. If you want salvation, it is found in the person of Jesus Christ. Next verse, verse 25. Verily or truly I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. That's speaking of the ultimate marriage supper of the Lamb, folks. I hope you're going to be there. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. But after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Glory to God. So don't miss that, folks. Look at the way he's talking. He's telling his disciples, basically, that they are going to leave him. They're going to ditch him. And this is speaking of the time when they came to take the Lord in the Garden of Gethsemane, and they all fled. Okay, so but Jesus, listen to what he says. He says, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. Now, at that point in time, the disciples did not quite understand. They didn't even know what he was talking about when he said that after that I am risen. You study the scriptures, you'll see them saying, what is he talking about? And sometimes they were afraid to even ask him. So the beauty, folks, is that the Lord is making a prophecy here. He says, I'm getting back up from the dead. And he says, after that happens, after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. In other words, I'll meet you in Galilee. Powerful stuff. So keep in mind that this is a Passover meal that the Lord Jesus Christ is celebrating. And what I'd like to do now, I'm going to go back to Exodus, the book of Exodus, chapter 12. And we'll take a little look here, a glimpse into that Passover and how this whole thing came about. Verse 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house, And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. Don't miss this. The lamb that they would be using here, it had to be, folks, without blemish. Don't forget that. And ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening, and they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. So, you know, picture a doorway in your home, the door coming into your house, if or an apartment. And you obviously have two side posts and you have an upper door post. And obviously the door swings and you walk inside. So here the instructions were given. Take the blood from that lamb, that unblemished lamb that you kill, and put the blood on the two side posts and on the upper part, okay? The upper door post. And then they are obviously inside. Now, I want you to see something here, folks. Let's go down to verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Powerful. So look at this, folks. The Lord preserved his own people, the children of Israel, when that angel of death came and smote all the firstborn, okay, throughout the land of Egypt. Not a single one of the children of Israel, the firstborn, were touched because by faith they put that blood on the side post, on the upper post, and they were preserved. That is powerful, powerful, powerful. And we're going to see here the connection and how it's all connected, ladies and gentlemen, to Jesus Christ. So that's what I want you to see. Okay, what we're going to do now, let's go to Luke chapter 9. We're going to start here at verse 28. And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John and James and went up into a mountain to pray. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment or his clothing was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, that's Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Let me stop right here. Look at this, ladies and gentlemen. We have Moses and Elijah. These guys were out of the picture for centuries. But here they are. They're talking with Jesus Christ, it says, in glory. Amazing stuff here. This is the same Moses that we just spoke about from Exodus 12, when we spoke about the instructions that were being given for the Passover sacrifice. So here he is again, and now he's talking with Jesus Christ about a death, his decease, that he was going to accomplish at Jerusalem. Is this not amazing? So I want you to see the connection, folks, between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It all flows, folks. It's one book. This Bible, folks, we have an Old Testament and we have a New Testament, but it's one book, okay? The Scriptures, this is the Word of God. Powerful. You know, if you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to get one. I heard a man say once, a preacher, I believe the Bible from cover to cover. I even believe the cover. So we see here Moses and Elijah, they appeared in glory. They spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. Very powerful stuff there. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here, and let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, or Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud, and there came a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. Well, folks, so here's the Almighty God, God the Father speaking. And for those who do not believe that God has a Son, I mean, you're coming against the very word of God here. You know, the chief priests, they didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They did not believe that he was Lord. They did not believe that he was the Messiah. And you find that all over the scriptures. My, oh, my. So here's God Almighty saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. Now, I want you to see something else here. We're going to go to the book of John. It's good stuff, folks. I know you love the Word of God. So let's go down. Let's go to verse 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me. For he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. Glory to God. Jesus Christ, folks, he is the Son of God. And I'm showing you here today that he was sent down from heaven above to be the perfect sacrificial lamb, the Passover sacrifice. That's what we're learning here. So let's see how this all took place. We're going to go now back to Mark, and we're going to take a look at Mark 14. Listen to this. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. That's speaking of Christ. So they're plotting here, okay? The Jewish chief priests, the Jewish scribes, they wanted to see how they could take him by craft and put him to death. But they said not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. Let's go to Matthew now, and we're going to take a look at, let's look at verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. So look at this. Here's Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, the creator of all things. Think about this. You read the book of John, folks. I encourage you to do that. The first verses, you know, talks about Jesus being the Word, and the Word was God, created all things. All things were made by him. So here we have Jesus Christ, and he's telling us, he's telling them how that he must go unto Jerusalem. He's going to suffer many things of the elders, the Jewish chief priests, ladies and gentlemen, and be killed. So he prophesied his own death once again. He did it many times. And listen to this. He says, and be raised again the third day. Glory to God. Okay, so what we're going to do now, we're going to go to Matthew 12. Let's look at verse 9. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue, and behold, there was a man which had his hand withered, and they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. And he said unto them, what man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. Then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. So we see there was a plotting going on. And right now I'd like to go to Luke. And we're going to go to chapter 23. And let's go to verse 13. And Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests and the rulers and the people, said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverted the people. And behold, I, having examined him before you, have found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod, for I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for of necessity he must release one unto them at the feast. And they cried out all at once, saying, away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison. Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. So it is they're calling for his crucifixion. And he said unto them the third time, why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified, and the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. So we see this battle. You know, Pilate wanted to let him go. He examined him. He says, I find no fault in this man, over and over, three different times. And I want you to know how this all fits together with the Passover, ladies and gentlemen. This is during a time when they were examining the lambs that they had to kill. Remember the instructions that the lambs, these are the physical, real lambs, animals, they had to be unblemished. And during that time, Jesus was being inspected. Jesus was being examined. And this man found nothing wrong with him. He was unblemished. Not only was Jesus sinless, this man examined him three different times. He says, I find no fault with this man. Why do you want to kill him? What evil has he done? So it was all planned by Almighty God that this Lamb of God, ladies and gentlemen, this Lamb of God would be slain for our sins. And that's what took place there. Let's go back to Mark, and let's take a look at, in fact, let me go to 1 Peter first. I'm going to take a look at Peter and see what he has to say about all of this stuff. Look at this, folks, powerful stuff. For as much as ye know, verse 18, that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You see, Peter knew the connection. Okay, he knew the connection that Jesus Christ was, in fact, the Passover Lamb of God. You know, a lot of this understanding, by the way, came later on, you know, even after the Lord had risen, but they put, you know, as they studied the word, they understood it very clearly that this was the Lamb of God. Folks, we have, if you're a believer, we've been redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, much more valuable than all the gold in the world. If you have Christ, folks, you have everything. Because this world as we know it, one day it's all going to burn up. It's going to perish. It won't be here anymore. And that's why I do these messages, by the way, so that you could come to know the Lord for yourself, so that you might be born again and understand that Christ came to die for you, that you can be redeemed, have your sins washed away, even as I have and many millions of others, folks. This is the good news of Jesus Christ that I bring to you. So let's see what we have here now. Let's go to Mark 14. And let's see where we're going to start here. I'm going to go all the way down to verse 60 around there. Okay. Let's look at verse 60. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee?" So this is shortly before they delivered Christ to be crucified. Verse 61, but he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ or the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed? Are you the Messiah?" And Jesus said, "I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes and saith, "What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. There you have it right there, folks. So here's all the religious leaders. Keep this in mind, folks. We're talking about the children of Israel. We're talking about the Jewish chief priest, the Jewish high priest. They're asking him, plain, "Art thou the Christ?" The word means Messiah. "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed?" Jesus answered in the affirmative, and Jesus said, "I am." And then he said, "And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Oh, yes. And I'm going to take you back now to let you see why he said that. If you look in Daniel chapter 7, you're going to see this was a prophecy that was fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. Daniel 7, verse 13, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." Don't ever forget that, folks. The kingdom of God is an everlasting kingdom. Oh, yes. You get inside with the Lord. You get saved. You realize that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. You enter his kingdom, folks. It's an everlasting kingdom. That's great news. Hallelujah. So the bottom line, ladies and gentlemen, is that Jesus Christ was put to death. Let me go to the book of John. I'll take a look at John chapter 19, and then we'll see what we can find here. Look at this, verse 18. Where they crucified, in fact, let me go further up. Verse 16, "Then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and the two other with him, on either side one, and Jesus in the midst or in the middle. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews.' This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek in Latin. Then said the chief priest of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. So look what took place here. Here's this title, and it says Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So what they used to do, ladies and gentlemen, whenever they would take a criminal and crucify him, they would put a placard up there, and whatever the crime was that they committed, that's what they would write, the accusation upon that placard. So here on his placard that was above the head of Christ, it was written, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. So the chief priest saw this and he said, ho, no, don't say that. We want you to say that he said he was the King of the Jews, because obviously they did not believe that. So next verse, Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. So that stayed. He was not about to change it. Oh, yes. So that's another thing that you can learn, ladies and gentlemen. So I'm going to go now to some of my favorite verses. If you follow this YouTube site, you know I use this a lot. So I'm going to show you, ladies and gentlemen, this is what all it boils down to, that Jesus Christ, he's the perfect Passover lamb. And this message, by the way, it's for all people. It's for Jewish and Gentile. And the point I make to you today, ladies and gentlemen, there is absolutely no other way for you to be saved. God sent his son, Jesus Christ. He's the Passover lamb. And even as John the Baptist said, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. It's either Jesus or it's you without Jesus. What I'm trying to say is your sins will remain on you, folks, without Christ. He's the sin bearer. He's the substitute. He took your sins upon himself. Without faith in him, you remain in your sins. That's why Jesus said in John 8:24 to the Jewish people that didn't believe on him, he says, if you do not believe that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. So yeah, you don't want to do that. So let's take a look now at Romans chapter 5, as I said, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, or perhaps for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Next verse. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So this Passover sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen, it's all about the blood of Christ. He did this for you. He did this so you might be saved. There's no other way for a man or woman to be justified except by the blood that was shed by this person that we know is Jesus Christ. This is the eternal Son of God, and this was the very purpose of his coming into the world. Don't ever forget that. So previously to my coming to Christ, verse 10, I was an enemy. Oh, yes, I was. I was on my way to hell. I make no bones about telling people that either. I was on my way to hell. I was an enemy of God. But it says here, when we were enemies, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. How? By the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So folks, if you don't know Christ today, believe it or not, you are in fact an enemy of God. It couldn't be any clearer than it's made there. And as I said before, ladies and gentlemen, this book, Old and New Testament, here's a prophecy that was given 700 years before Christ died on the cross. Isaiah the prophet, very well known, famous chapter, Isaiah chapter 53, it speaks about Christ and his death for us. Oh yes, that's what it does. So it says, look at what it says. Verse 4, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement or punishment of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Listen to this. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb or silent, so he openeth not his mouth. There it is again, the lamb, the perfect Passover sacrifice, the lamb of God. Ladies and gentlemen, this is good news. I know that in the religious world, they call this Good Friday. Well, you know, I know that's like tradition, the way they say that, but you know, folks, this can be your best Friday. Today's Friday, just happens to be Friday, but you may be listening to this on a different day. This could be the best day of your life when you get saved, when you're truly born again, folks, because then the lights go on. Then you realize who Jesus Christ really is, that this is just not another religion, that this is the way that God wants you to be saved. So the good news, ladies and gentlemen, is that Jesus Christ, he was slain on the cross, but he did not remain dead. Glory to God. He got up from the dead. Let's go to Mark chapter 16. And we're going to see what we have here. Verse 1, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in the long white garment, and they were affrighted. That's an angel, by the way. And he saith unto them, be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him, as he said unto you. So if you remember earlier, Jesus said, when I'm risen from the dead, I'll meet you in Galilee. Here it is. The angel is now telling them, look, you remember what he told you? He's going to meet you in Galilee. But I want you to see something else here, folks. Look what the angel says to them. He says, but go your way. Tell his disciples, don't miss this, and Peter. You know why he did that? Because Peter was probably totally depressed and devastated because the Lord told him, you will deny me three times. So the Lord knew that. And now the angel says, go tell his disciples. And he specifically pointed out Peter and Peter. Isn't that beautiful? That's the mercy of God, folks. It's the mercy of God. No matter who you are, God's a merciful God. He's a loving God. He wants to save your soul. So let me go further down, folks. Keep in mind, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. Look at verse 14. Afterward, he, meaning Jesus, appeared unto the 11. It's not 12 anymore. You know what happened to Judas. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat or food, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. So he basically rebuked them. He says, how come you didn't believe them? Okay. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, let me stop there. Folks, you know, we don't know how long we have to live. This might be the last gospel message you ever hear. I don't know. I don't know how old you are. But I'm here to tell you, folks, that this scripture, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, he that believeth not shall be damned. I mean, we're talking about salvation or damnation. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And so that's gospel. You know, people hold back that truth from you. I can't speak for them. I'll speak for myself. I'm not going to do that. I got to tell you the truth, okay? There's a heaven, there's a hell. And without Christ, you will be damned. That's what he said. I'm just telling you what Jesus said. He says, if you don't believe, you're going to be damned. And the reason you're going to be damned, folks, is because of your sin. You choose to reject Christ, so he comes to save, okay? He's the perfect Passover sacrifice. This sacrifice of Christ is for Jew and Gentile. There's no other way. I know we're in a world of a zillion religions, but there's one way. Many religions, but one way of salvation, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. Let me close it out with this passage here. We're going to go to a very well-known passage from Acts chapter 4. Be it known unto you all, verse 10, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. It was a man who was healed. This is the stone which is set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So there it is again. There's no other name, folks. There is no other way. No other way. And, you know, folks, the Bible makes it clear. You know, we're all sinners, but you know, sometimes people, what they do is they're very hard on themselves, and you know they don't think there's a shot for them. They know they've done some wicked things, and they say, you know, I'm cooked, man, I'm out of here. But here, listen to this, Psalm 130, verse 3: If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Folks, no matter who you are, if the Lord were to mark iniquities, there's not a one of us that would make it in. The only ones in heaven are those who have been redeemed. Don't ever forget that. You know, many people think that they're going to do the best they can, do some good things, and be remembered. Nope, you're not getting into heaven that way. It ain't gonna happen, folks. It will not happen. Trust me. Let me give you just a couple of more scriptures. If you go to the Book of Romans, it's very well known verses, verse 23. Chapter 3, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In the same book of Romans, if you go to chapter 6, go down to verse 23, listen to this. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, you go to work, you earn your wages, and they pay you at the end of the week or 2 weeks, however you get paid. So those are wages. You know, you deserve it. You work, you make an agreement, this is what I get paid. They're going to pay me $15 an hour. I'm going to do this. I work 8 hours. You owe me money. The wages and then the payment. Well, the wages of your sin, according to the scriptures, is death. That's what you earned. The wages of sin is death. Hear me now. Don't turn away the gift. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He gets all the glory. He gets all the glory. There's nobody in heaven, folks, saying, you know how I got here? This is what I did. I earned my salvation. This is what I did when I was in the world on earth. Not one. Not one. Not one. Folks, it's all about Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter what your occupation is, folks. God is merciful. No matter what your job, you may be a prostitute, alcoholic, drug addict, stockbroker, banker, police officer, fireman, doesn't matter. Unless you repent, you'll perish, okay? God is an equal opportunity savior, ladies and gentlemen. He's not a respecter of people. So, you know, many people I know, you never possibly understood the connection between the Jewish Passover and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So at this time of year, you know, what happens, Satan, the devil, what he does, he distracts, you know. They turned this day of celebration. First of all, if you've been born again, every day is Resurrection Day, because you know the Lord, you're risen with him, okay? So this is like a tradition that they celebrate once a year. Okay, and it gets mixed up with a lot of pagan stuff. You have the Easter bunnies, the chocolate bunnies, the jelly beans, and all of this silly stuff. You know what this is, folks? This is Satan distracting people from coming to know the truth that I told you today. I remember growing up, it used to be in New York to have the Easter parade, and you'd have ladies walking around with these 8-foot hats with bananas and all this stuff on them, and they wanted to win the prize as the best outfit or something like that. What does that have to do with the gospel? Nothing. Absolutely nothing, folks. What does the Easter Bunny have to do with Jesus Christ and salvation? Absolutely nothing. I can remember, you know, I go into the shopping malls, the indoor malls, to exercise and walk, and you know, around the holidays, you'll see the Easter Bunny. And here's the Easter Bunny wearing those big spectacles in a big throne, and there'll be a line forever with people lining up. They want to take their children and put it on the lap of the Easter Bunny. What does this have to do with anything, you see? So it's all a tactic. It's all man-made tradition. It's all money-making stuff. It's all paganism, folks. But I'm going to leave it there, folks. You know I'm telling you the truth. And don't forget what you heard today. That Jesus Christ, that he was the perfect sacrificial lamb of God. Be blessed.